Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We are back with Etta West, researcher, on the topic of vaccines and the issues around vaccines. Welcome back, Etta.
Thank you.
We were just talking before about children getting all these vaccines in the first 2 years of life, possibly 39 doses in before the age of two. Is there any way to know ahead of time if a child is likely to have a reaction?
Well, there aren't any specific tests that I'm aware of that can be done, although there is a lot coming out now in the medical literature about, genetic vulnerabilities that some people have that, that their children would also acquire. But those tests are definitely, they're just beginning to come out with conversations about possibly doing those in the future, but nothing definitive. So there really is no way. I mean, we do know just from so-called, anecdotal experience that families who have autoimmune illnesses, who have severe allergies, that their children are way more likely to have vaccine reactions that may not be overt at the time, but that they can also then cause the child to develop some of those disorders. The one thing that stands out for me is the peanut butter allergy epidemic. We have approximately 300,000 children in Canada who are deathly allergic to everyday foods, the most common one being peanut. And this is a new risk group that didn't exist prior to about 1990. And this group arose when the Canadian government experimented on Canadian children when they came out with an unlicensed vaccine called Penta. And it was the first 5-in-1 vaccine anywhere in the world that was given to children. So our children have been used, Canadian children have been used as test subjects unknown to their parents, trying out new vaccines. And that Penta vaccine was the first vaccine that put four vaccines together, DTP and polio and then Hib vaccine. And from the research that I've been reading, it was that Hib, which is stands for Haemophilus influenza B vaccine, which is a type of bacterial organism that can cause a child to develop a type of meningitis, there were anomalies in that vaccine that actually triggered this severe allergic epidemic where kids are deathly allergic if they come in contact to everyday foods. And that's a very, very big story, and it's a very interesting one. If anybody wants to read a kind of the origin of how vaccines have precipitated these severe allergic reactions, the book that I recommend is by a wonderful Canadian author. Her name is Heather Fraser, and the name of the book is The Peanut Allergy Epidemic, and it gives you the whole history. Her research is impeccable, very, very scholarly, and it traces right back to injectable drugs and injectable vaccines and how those skew the immune system in a certain way that then throws that person into this life-threatening anaphylaxis, which is what it's called when they're exposed to elements that they've become severely allergic to.
Okay, Etta, if I was to choose not to immunize my child now, what are some things I could do to create a strong, healthy immune system?
Yeah, well, that's a huge conversation, Kathy. that's a really large one. But my best starting place that I always bring up in a conversation like this is a commitment to long-term breastfeeding. Breastfed babies are the most protected babies immunologically because they not only through the breast milk but through they acquire through the placenta their mother's own immunity. Then if the breastfeeding is taken through the first couple of years of life, that child has superb immunological protection from a vast array of illnesses and diseases. You know, many people have said that breast milk actually is nature's own immunization. It develops a wonderful strong gut so that the microbiome is at an optimal, that the baby's gut flora develops properly, because, you know, a very large part of our immune system resides in the gut. So if we give our babies that benefit of breastfeeding for the first couple of years of life, we, you know, I have told mothers over the many, many years, you know, you really don't have a lot to worry about if you're breastfeeding your baby. So that's your best start in life. Thereafter, clean food, clean water, organic foods, or at least the most minimal exposure to chemicals, which is really difficult to do in this age because they're everywhere, unbelievable chemicals that have been unleashed on the planet. And so, and of course, a really loving home environment. So, you know, that's your starting place.
That's wonderful. So can you wrap up what we've been talking about today? We've just got a few minutes left, and just describing it is a huge topic, vaccines, and there are so many different vaccinations that you can have for vaccination. Is this something that is mandatory, or do we have the choice? Who are we fighting when we make this choice?
Well, yeah, well, you're going to be fighting with your doctor and with the public health, and it depends on where you live in Canada. Different provinces have different regulations. So, you know, in British Columbia, we have no mandatory vaccination policies. So, you know, but unfortunately, parents are told right at the doctor's office, oh, you have to vaccinate your child because he won't be able to go to school unless he's fully vaccinated, which is completely untrue. So on our website, on our exemptions page, people can read what their rights are and what the various, you know, different regulations are in different provinces. But basically, in Canada, vaccination is voluntary. So parents need to know that regardless of what anybody says to them, including their doctor, vaccination is not mandatory anywhere in Canada. And in the few provinces, Ontario and New Brunswick, where they actually have they have laws that regulate and that require kids to have certain vaccines, those legal exemptions are available. So vaccination is not mandatory, and, you know, we certainly recommend that. We are for informed choice, for informed consent, for the basic human right to be able to accept or refuse any medical treatment that carries a risk of injury and death, which vaccines do. Vaccines are serious drugs that carry a risk of injury and death. So we recommend all parents do their research. Lots and lots of reading before you make a vaccine decision, you know, whether you decide one way or the other. Some people choose to selectively vaccinate. Some people choose to wait 2 or 3 years and then selectively vaccinate. So there are lots of choices and options. Unfortunately, we live in a time where there is this mass hysteria about vaccination, where there is no threat of these old diseases that, as you said earlier, you know, those of us who are old enough had them and we sailed through it. And the mortality had already been reduced so drastically. Measles, for example, the decline in mortality was already to 99.9% before they introduced the vaccines. And so we need to know our rights, and we need to be diligent as parents and do our own research and make a very well-informed decision on this one.
Yes. So if we've been immunized and we nurse our babies for 2 years, do they have all the antibodies to those diseases anyway?
That's a good question. You must have done your reading to even ask a question like that. There's quite a big difference between the cross-placental antibodies that a baby would receive from his or her mother if that mother is vaccinated or if the mother had that disease in her lifetime. So measles, I always like to use as an example, because it's a disease that can travel quickly. those of us who all had measles in childhood imparted very strong immunity cross-placentally to our babies, which meant that they were pretty well protected in the first year of life from developing measles. And measles is a disease that the highest risk groups are young babies and adults. The children in between the first, let's say, from age 2 to about 12 or 13 years, those kids who were normally the age group that got measles, they'll sail through it if they're healthy, well-nourished children. And so we're not talking about developing world statistics where measles can be a huge killer.
Etta, this is fascinating, and there's so much to this topic. It's so huge. Could you tell us where to go on the websites or where we can find more information if we want to continue in this?
So Vaccine Choice Canada, this website, we have had this website, it's been developing for the last, since we launched our first website, I think in 1997. So it's been developing for a long time. It's a vast library of a lot of information on this topic, including the individual vaccines. We have a very, very extensive science page where all of the links to the various scientific studies that have been published on this issue can be found. And also our Facebook page. Some people really like Facebook. We do daily uploads. Anything that's going on around the world that's vaccine-related, it gets uploaded to our Facebook page, page daily, which you can easily link to right from our website.
Thank you very much, Etta. Thanks for all the work that you've done exposing the truths about vaccines.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for your kind words and appreciation.
Thanks to our guests today. In the beginning, we had Rosemary Pierce speaking about nutrient depletion. And in the second half, we had Etta West speaking about the issues around vaccination. Today, we also had Alan Wishart and producers across the country who make this show available. We want to thank them all. Thank you so much for listening, and have a healthy and happy week.